Sarah Taylor, a lawyer at Stevens & Bolton, and I welcome you to our third podcast about setting up business in the UK. Now is an ideal time to expand your business into the UK, and over the next few weeks, we will continue to discuss how to go about this, the opportunities available, and the dangers to avoid. Today, I'm speaking with Lloyd Davey, partner and employment law expert who has helped many businesses set up in the UK. We will be considering the options for hiring talent in the UK, what often surprises overseas clients about employing people in the UK, and which initial people-related decisions may come back to bite. Lloyd, a very warm welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. Good to be here.
Tell me, what advice do overseas clients usually seek from you when looking to set up in the UK?
Well, typically one of the first questions is how they should be engaging with the talent they want to hire in the UK. And often the client will have a number of options already in mind, including direct employment, either by a UK subsidiary company, a branch, or perhaps the parent company itself. Then there's the option of having the person work for them as a contractor or a consultant. And then finally, there's the option of using the services of a third party called an employer of record, or EOR for short. And very often the client will also value our insight into UK market best practice. For example, what are other employers doing in their sector? What expectations might the hire likely have in relation to the terms of their employment, benefits, and other incentive arrangements?
So you said there are different employment models for hiring individuals in the UK, and presumably there are different considerations for each.
Yes, there are. That's right. So the simplest and still the most common arrangement is that the client incorporates a wholly owned UK subsidiary company, and that entity becomes the employer. There are all sorts of benefits for a business in having a UK subsidiary company, not least that employees and customers may feel most reassured by contracting with a UK company. Then there's the contractor model. This option is sometimes suggested by the client if they don't yet have a UK subsidiary set up, but have found someone they want to start working with them as soon as possible. Or the individual themselves might suggest being a contractor because it's financially desirable for them. And then turning to the employer of record market, there's been a huge increase in the use of EORs in some sectors more than others, tech in particular. EORs really have become commonplace, particularly for North American clients looking to do business in the UK, because the EOR market is really very well developed in North America. The advantages of EORs are that they can be convenient, they can be quick, and they can fix an urgent issue, perhaps secure that candidate that might otherwise get away. But conversely, I'd say an employer of record may not be quite so reassuring to candidates. They would have a direct employment relationship with a third party, which they may not have heard of. And it can be a costly arrangement. That convenience I mentioned does come at a cost, and that cost can become substantial over time or as the employer scales up. And in terms of culture, an employer of record has its own employee benefits, policies, and procedures, and those might not quite align with the employer's culture and preferences.
And what often surprises your overseas clients about employing people in the UK?
Well, that depends on who I'm speaking to. If I'm speaking to a European business looking to expand into the UK, I explain that although many UK and European employment laws come from the same or similar sources, there can be significant differences between our laws and practices, whether that be on notice periods and when notice can be served, or the approach to post-termination restrictions, for example. If I'm speaking to a non-European business looking to expand into the UK, perhaps a US client, I often explain that employment laws in the UK are typically far more employer-friendly than in much of Europe. In a sense, the UK can represent a soft landing into Europe, and that's one of the reasons why a business chooses to establish a European presence in the UK first before later expanding into other European countries.
In your experience, what should a business's initial people priorities be when setting up in the UK?
Well, it comes down to those initial hiring decisions, really, and what can come back to bite a business. And I can think of two key areas. One is in misclassifying someone as a self-employed contractor when they really shouldn't be. And that can cause risks from both a tax and an employment law perspective. And the other is using off-the-shelf employment contracts and other employment documentation, or perhaps using the parent company's preferred standard documents. Both of those can cause problems. UK specific documents really are essential, or the client could find their business interests not being adequately protected, such as on intellectual property, confidentiality, post-termination restrictions, and also the operation of bonus and commission plans.
And lastly, what do you enjoy most about your job, Lloyd?
Good question. Well, I think what I'd like to say on that is it's enjoyable explaining sometimes unique and complicated UK employment laws and regulations to someone who might not have any knowledge of them, making them easier to understand concepts and not something to be fearful of. And I think also the connection and the business understanding that comes from being there from day one of a client's presence in the UK, being alongside them as they grow and helping them to expand their workforce and businesses is really rewarding for us, and it's also beneficial for the client.
Thank you, Lloyd. You've provided some great insight into employing in the UK. And a big thank you to our listeners. I hope that you have found today's discussion useful. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions of topics that you would like us to cover in this series, please get in touch through our website. We'd love to hear from you. And do join us for our next podcast when Gustav Duus, partner and head of our competition and regulatory practice, will be talking us through the regulatory environment in the UK. Follow the link on our website to subscribe to the series.